Well, good morning. Thank you, Dallas, for sharing that. It goes very well with what I'm sharing this morning. Maybe more part two of what I'm sharing. But we'll see how it goes. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the words that were already shared. Help us to be a forgiving people with each other. Just also pray this burden that you've laid on my heart here, that it would come forth with clarity, with truth. Loose my lips to preach this, Father, that it's from you. Pray for open, teachable hearts. Father, we just pray that your presence will be here, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'd like to continue this morning with Christ-likeness. I've done, I think, three or four messages. Let's continue today, this morning, with more of Christ's character that we are called to follow. Jonathan read these verses. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. May the Lord make us more like our teacher and our master. That's the burden and the heart of what I'd like to preach this morning. Now, this one here started with me a few years ago. My Bible got old and started falling apart, and I was shopping for a new Bible, so I tried different translations. And I find the old King James very hard to sometimes, especially as I get older, to wrap my brain around the wording that it has. And I'm totally not against it. But for me, it was hard. So I tried a new King James for a while, just a used one before I bought one. And I really liked it. But I did struggle with a word that I came across in the new King James. I did struggle with it for a while, the wording that they used versus the old. And it's found in a very, very familiar two or three verses I'd like to read this morning. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, you might have noticed if you're reading along or you're very familiar with this verse, there's one word there that got changed from meek to gentle. From meek to gentle. The old King James would say, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And lowly is I think you could put humility there. And it changed it to gentle, and I figured, that's a weaker word. That's a weaker word than meek. I think they watered it down. Is it a weaker word? We'll go through it this morning. Oh, I hate spelling up here because it's so obvious. So, my title this morning, I have Christ-likeness, then I have meek. I have three words. Not going to go into the difference right now, as it come clear as I go through. So, what does the word meek mean? Now, if you go to the Webster, meek would say this: mild of temper, soft, gentle, not easily provoked or irritated, yielding, given to forbearance under injuries. Not easily provoked, nor irritated, yielding, given to forbearance under injuries. Now, if you, I have a sword searcher, and those words are all kind of, you can click on those words and the Greek definition comes up. And if you would click on that word here, meek or gentle, it would simply come up, gentle, humble, meek. That's what will come up, those three words, gentle, humble, meek. Meek, there's another definition. Meekness does not retaliate and is patient when wronged. Someone who shows patient restraint. Those are all definitions of meekness. Let's go to some examples of Jesus. Now, we've all heard a lot of messages on, through the years, we've heard this saying, meekness is not weakness, and it's true. I'll touch some of that, but meekness is not weakness. But here's a definition of Jesus, an example of Jesus and his meekness. Isaiah 53:7 says this: he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that was led to slaughter, so he did not open his mouth. Isaiah 53:7. Gentleness or meekness characterizes our Lord Jesus. He always defended God's glory and ultimately gave himself in sacrifice for others. Jesus didn't lash back when criticized or slandered or treated unjustly, but he did respond fittingly and firmly when God's honor was profaned or his truth was perverted or neglected. He twice cleansed the temple by force. He repeatedly and fearlessly denounced the hypocrisy of the Jewish leaders. That's the picture, if I look at Jesus, that's the picture that I got. He fearlessly denounced or spoke up when God's name was at stake. But he did not lash back or say anything when he was personally accused. He didn't lash back when criticized, slandered, or treated unjustly, but he did respond fittingly and firmly when God's honor was at stake. When his time came to suffer and die, he submitted to the will of the Father. If you read through Matthew, it's amazing how meekness was not weakness. I find just a perfect picture of what meekness is to our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:23 says this: who, talking about Jesus, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. That's meekness. That's meekness. True meekness will defend glory, but will see no reason to defend himself. That's true meekness. I think that's as how Christians we should live. True meekness will defend God's glory, but will see no reason to defend ourselves. I think that's the key of true meekness, to have no reason to defend ourselves. A second thing that I'm seeing in this verse is this. He committed himself to God who judges righteously. True meekness will not worry what people say about you. He will commit that to God who judges righteously. And if you think of another thing in the Bible where it talks about turning the other cheek, or sitting home and meditating. Oh my, that goes against our human nature, doesn't it? Somebody slaps you on the cheek. I mean, you could, through teaching and through engaging your will, you could say that's God's will, so I'm turning the other cheek. You could probably do that. It's not necessarily wrong to do that. But true meekness will be able to turn the other cheek by God's grace. True meekness will be able to do that. You know, Moses, we're all familiar with Moses. It says in the Bible, "Now the man Moses was very meek." I think it says above all men on the face of the earth, if I remember correctly. "Now the man Moses was very meek." You know, he was a person who boldly led over 1 million people. But have you ever noticed under what context that verse was written? Now the man Moses was very meek. It's under the context of this. It's when Aaron and Miriam spoke and went against him, and he reviled not back and let God deal with it. Moses never backed off when God's glory was at stake. But when his own reputation was at stake, when his own brother and sister went against him, he defended himself not. A perfect example of how Christ lived. And I believe that's why I was saying, that's why it says about Moses, "Now the man Moses was very meek." He boldly led over 1 million people, and yet when he was challenged by his own brother and sister, he reviled not back. So that's a snapshot of what meekness means. I know we could probably have a whole main message on the word meekness. But I just see it so clearly as I just look at the life of Jesus. Bold, and yet he reviled not back. So why gentle? So why gentle? So why did the translators use the word gentle? Well, for one, I guess it is, if you go right to the Greek and it says there, meek, gentle, interchangeable pretty well. And yet, but it is a little different. Why gentle? And it's not only here. It's many times these words and different translations are basically interchangeable. Why is the word many times translated gentleness? A meek person is a Christian who has given his life completely over to God, and God's character is flowing out of his life. Now, meekness is kind of like humility. Meekness is how you are. just like humility. It's very hard to separate them because they very closely flow together. You know, look at the words love, long-suffering, humility, kindness, meek, and gentle. I'll repeat those words. Love, long-suffering, humility, kindness, meek, and gentle. All of those words flow together. All of these words, I'm not sure how to explain it, but if you go into love, well, love is kind. Long-suffering. Part of long-suffering is humility. Humility and love, you can't separate them. A meek person has to be a humble person. A gentle person has to be a humble and meek and kind person. They all kind of flow together. But as I was studying and kind of thinking, how is the difference? And I So meekness, it's a character that we can only have from God. And if we're meek, that's how you are. A gentle is how you relate to each other, how to relate to others. So if you look up the word gentle, it would say this: mild, meek, soft, a gentle nature or disposition, a gentle address, a gentle voice, tenderness. Tenderness. A meek person is gentle and kind in their words and actions. A meek person is gentle and kind in his words and actions, what comes out. Philippians 4:5 says this: let your gentleness be known to all men, for the Lord is at hand. Let your gentleness be known to all men, for the Lord is at hand. Proverbs 15:1 says this: a gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. In other words, somebody who's harsh or ungentle, I should say, if that is even a word, it will stir up anger. But a gentle answer turns away wrath. So we talked a little about Jesus before. Was he meek? Yes. Was Jesus gentle? Was Jesus gentle? How do you view personally, how in your heart do you view Jesus' character? Well, first of all, he said, I am gentle and humble in heart. So I believe him based on what he said. But if you think about it, Jesus who took a whip and cleansed the temple. Now that reads itself over fairly quickly. But if you think about somebody doing that, going inside a temple, chasing out cattle and sheep and people and whatever was there, overturning tables, it doesn't look too gentle. It doesn't look too meek. It looks pretty, I guess we'd call it righteous anger. Jesus who took a whip and cleansed the temple, and strongly spoke out against sin was a gentle person. The things that he said to Pharisees and to different peoples were so strong and so hard sometimes, and yet he was a gentle person. Children wanted to sit on his lap. The same person who braided a whip and chased out and cleansed the temple, children wanted to sit on his lap. People came by the thousands to sit at his feet and be taught. I believe they came because they were fed. They were fed. People came by the thousands to sit at his feet to be taught. He helped the sick and the hurting. He helped the sick and the hurting. In Isaiah, we have some wonderful pictures about our Lord Jesus. Behold my servant, that's Isaiah 42, 1 to 3. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. Now, I was kind of wrestling with that verse because I felt he did sometimes raise his voice or preach in the street and all things. I think it simply means this: he was not loud and boisterous. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break. A reed that is bruised and almost ready to fall over, he will not break. A smoking flax he will not quench. Something that's just a little bit of smoke left, it's just about ready to go out, he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. That's our Jesus. That's meek and gentle. That's meek and gentle. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoking flax he will not quench. Isaiah 40, 10 and 11. Behold, the Lord God came with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. Amazing verses. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm, and gather them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. Now, to me, they're amazing. Absolutely amazing because of 12. 12 goes on. The next verse is, who has measured the waters and the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, and the hills in a balance. That's an incredible God. I'm going to read this again. Who has measured the waters and the hollow of his hand? The oceans are incredibly vast. He measured heaven with a span. Nicholas lately preached about the heavens. He measured the heavens with a span and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure. Weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. That's the same God who he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. That's a meek and gentle God. That's a meek and gentle God. I'd like to turn to 2 Timothy 2. Second Timothy 2:24 and 25. I found that interesting. And challenging. And the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, and humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, apt to teach, patient, and humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. Very challenging verses. Titus 2:3-1-2. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to speak, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. To speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. Gentle. God calls us to be gentle, and I think gentle will be an outflow if we're meek. So how about kindness? I found the word kindness. I couldn't really separate the word kindness. So if you go to 1 Corinthians 13:4, it says, love suffereth long and is kind. And the whole list of what love is, the word there, and just short, and is kind. So love is kind. And if I click on the Greek, and it brings off the definition of that word, what do you think I'm finding? Somebody help me with a definition of kindness. I need your input here. What's the definition of kindness? To be gentle?
Acting for the other person's good in a gentle way.
Yes. It's this. This is actually what comes up. Yeah. So, I found it interesting as I was going through. Oh, sorry, that's not exactly what comes up. That's how I write, how you act. But this is what comes up. To show oneself useful, be kind. So there what it says, love is suffered long and is kind. Click on that word, and that's what the Greek says. To show oneself useful, dot be kind. To show oneself useful. I was thinking. That's odd. I would have thought, like my wife said, it's just another form of gentle. Sitting and meditating and think about it, I went to the Webster. Okay, what does the Webster say about kind? And the Webster says this: disposed to do good to others, supplying their wants or assisting them in distress. So it's an action word. So meek is how you are. Gentle is how you relate and come across. You come across gentle. Kindness is living it out. Kindness is how you act. No, I was thinking James 2:15 and 16. We have a work bee chat with the young men, and Kevin Hofer's on there, and we were once debating about helping Anthony out and dropping something else, and and Kevin says, well, doesn't this verse, James 2:15 and 16, apply here? And it's this one: if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things that are needful for the body, what does it profit? That's kind of how I look at kind. You know, we can gently say something to somebody and ask them about something, but I think kindness will put that in action. I think kindness will put that in action. Another example that I found in Luke 10:25. Luke 10:25 to 37. It's fairly lengthy, but I like to read it. Here is a parable of kindness being lived out. And behold, a certain lawyer came up and testing him, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the same place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, who as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw it, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, poured on oil and wine, and set him on his own animal, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy to him. And Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. If I think of kindness, and I think of my past and through the years, even as a little boy, sometimes somebody did something very kind to you, You remember it. It stuck with you. I remember things from my childhood where somebody particular did something very kind to me. I still remember it. I remember these things. I can guarantee you, this man here never, ever forgot this act of kindness. This act of kindness went deep, deep into his heart. It's a very good picture of somebody living out kindness. So if we think about all that, you know, we talk sometimes about community. Joseph preached the message on community. We've heard messages on each other. We hear these and we discuss the things amongst ourselves. How does meekness, gentleness, and kindness work itself out amongst us? Sitting home is thinking, okay, how does that work itself out? How does that work? Practically, the first one I have, practical help. Practical help for each other. Work bees will be an example. But just practically helping each other out. Philippians 2:4 says, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. If I think of my own backyard, there's some tilling that needs to be done. There's a tree that needs to be planted. There's some grass that needs to cut. There's a garden that needs to be cleaned up. There's fill in the blanks, all of us. We live in the country. But we see a need. We see a need. Somebody else has a need. Somebody else needs help. We kind of say, okay, you know what? I'm going to finish all my projects. I'm going to finish all my projects. Then I'm going to help. Or do we think this, Philippians 2:4, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. How are we doing? How are we doing? Just be honest with yourselves. How are we doing in this area? If you think about 15, 16 years ago or 10 to 15 years ago, we'd like to say we're growing as a church. So how are we doing from helping each other out practically from 15 years ago to now? Are we way better at it? Or have we slipped? Are we way better at it or have we slipped? Just be honest with yourself. Honest with ourselves. Point number two. How do we view others, and how do others view you when you failed? So, in light of God's character being in my own heart, in light of me having grown to become more meek, gentle, and kind, in light of you having grown more meek, gentle, and kind, Galatians 6, and we could come up with all kinds of examples. That was kind of towards my end. I was running out of time. And Galatians 6, 1 to 3. I'd like to read that one. Brothers, Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespasses, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, then he deceives himself. Let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for each one shall bear his own load. So here it says, so if somebody is overtaken in a fault, let's say somebody's struggling, he fell into sin or something in his life that needs correcting, or whatever it might be. If a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, so which one is the spirit? Which one should go? So which one should take this brother or sister under his wing, talk to him, restore him? Which one should go? Who is the spiritual one? You who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. So the one who is spiritual is the one who is in a spirit of gentleness or meekness. And he is the one who considers himself and realizes, you know what? I'm just a bare man and I fail too. So I see actually a picture of meekness here. You who are spiritual, this is a meek person, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest you also be tempted. You who are spiritual, gentle, considers himself, he's humble, and if you go on, verse 2 says, bear one another's burden. And I believe also the spiritual one will bear the burden. So these three things, if I look at this context here, you are spiritual, he's a gentle and meek person, he considers himself, and he bears the burden. Then we go to Matthew 7, 3 to 5. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how do you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank that is in your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Now, notice in both these contexts here that I read, these verses don't say not to say or do anything. They don't say that. They don't say, judge not, keep your mouth shut, don't go to each other, don't speak into each other's lives. That's not what it's saying. It's not saying that. But they are saying, they come right down to the heart of the person doing it. Have you noticed on both contexts, they come right down to the heart of the person who's going. Here it says, are you seeing a speck in a brother, but you have a log in your own? Hypocrite, first remove the plank in your own eye, and then you will clearly see the speck in your own brother's eye. In other words, I think you're somewhat deceived because you're really not clearly seeing, because you're going with pride in your own heart. Why am I saying these things? I'm saying these things because I think it is really good for us to have a meek, to be meek, gentle and kind. To be meek, gentle and kind. And then if we go, it has so much more effect. It has so much more effect as we go and we help each other and we rub shoulders and we speak into each other's life. Point number three, hurts. I appreciate the message that you, where's Dallas there, that you shared this morning. Hurts are kind of like being offended. If you haven't been, at some point you will. It's just life. Minor hurts, medium hurts, major hurts. A hurt means strictly to get hurt. Now, if I fall and twist my ankle, I really hurt my ankle. So we can get hurt at work, we can get hurt, but there can also be emotional hurts. There can also be emotional hurts. You know, there's a, sad to say that has to be, but there are a lot of programs out there for people to heal, to deal with their hurts. There's a lot of programs out there, Christian programs, for people to deal with their hurts. Some are good, some aren't as good. I don't know. I'm not really familiar with all of them. But there are a lot of programs out there. You know, there can be hurts from childhood abuse, but there can also simply be hurts that have compiled through your life from what people did or said to you. And that's what I kind of want to talk about here in closing. Am I sometimes the reason for causing those hurts? I think that's a good question for all of us to ask. Am I sometimes the reason for causing those hurts? Now, no matter how you are, no matter what the situation, I think there's sometimes there will be just hurts, but I honestly believe if we would be meek, gentle, and kind, those hurts will be very doable, if that's a right way of saying it. I think they will be very minimal and very doable. It's sad to say that Christians sometimes hurt each other simply because they're not meek, gentle, and kind. It happens many times. Christians hurt each other simply because they're walking in the flesh. Remember this. If you don't remember anything else, remember this. Hurting someone is hurting someone. Hurting someone is hurting someone. That someone is a person. It's not an object. You can go out and a bat and you can beat on a tree. Whatever. Tree might die. Hurting someone is hurting someone. It's hurting a person. A person who is made in the image of God. It's very serious. Let's be careful how we walk through life. Another one, hurting someone destroys trust. Hurting someone destroys trust. Now, I'm glad he preached the message that he did regarding, because that's, if you're hurt, what to deal with it. But I'm coming more from the side of let's walk gentle, humble, and kind and not hurt people. Hurting someone destroys trust. If you hurt someone, it's going to be a while till you will be able to speak into his life or have a good relationship with him or her. It's just going to be. If you hurt someone and you broke trust, it's going to take a while to get back. That's just how life is. Human relations are fragile. I think it's James who said it a while back. Human relations are fragile. Handle with care. Handle with care. Another one. Are we sensitive to others? Are we sensitive to others? People will know if we genuinely care. I mean, we might fool a person here and there, but in general, even secular people, in general, people will get a sense if you genuinely care. They'll just get a sense. I don't know how that works within us. There's just a connection. People will sense if you genuinely care. Are you sensitive to others? Am I the type of person who people trust and share their hurts with? Am I like Jesus? And Isaiah 42 says, a bruised reed, that's a hurting person. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoking flax he will not quench. Is there at least some of God's character in me that I am meek, humble, gentle, and kind, that people will choose to trust me and to share their hurts with? That's a good question for all of us to ask ourselves. I came across this saying as I was studying. It's one thing to be taught kindness. It's one thing to be taught kindness. It's another to be touched by it. No, we're taught kindness. We're trying to teach our children to be kind. But it's one thing to be taught kindness, it's another to be touched by it. Colossians 3, 12 and 15, in closing, I'd like to read this. Colossians 3, 12 to 15. Therefore, as the elect of God, that's us, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And I'll close there. Let's sing 454.